WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. A fugitive is caught in northern Arkansas. CBS's Ian Lee with more on Grant Hardin, a former police officer doing time for murder and rape.
Grant Hardin was found about a mile and a half from the prison after 2 weeks of searching. What we know is that a special team from the Border Patrol that specializes in searches like this, they came in to help out. They had dogs that were able to pick up the scent of Hardin.
Kilmar Abrego Garcia, a Maryland man mistakenly deported to a prison in El Salvador, is back in the U.S. to face criminal charges. The latest from CBS's Peter King.
The announcement came at a quickly called news conference at the Justice Department.
Abrego Garcia has landed in the United States to face justice.
Attorney General Pam Bondi says Kilmar Abrego Garcia faces multiple charges for human trafficking stemming from a Tennessee traffic stop 3 years ago. He's accused of making over 100 trips over 9 years to smuggle migrants, weapons, and drugs into the country.
This was his full-time job.
The indictment says Abrego Garcia was an MS-13 gang member, something he's denied. He's never been charged for that. Peter King, CBS News.
The DOGE task force can access sensitive Social Security Administration information. The Supreme Court has cleared the way for it to happen while legal proceedings move forward. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
The three liberal justices voted as a block, rejecting DOGE's claim that it needed access to personal records maintained by the Social Security Administration, which would include tax and citizenship records. The six conservative justices took the position that the lower court had improperly placed a pause on DOGE's access to personal data.
Some clashes have broken out as protesters show up while federal immigration agents carry out enforcement activities in Los Angeles. It took place at a Home Depot store and other places. CBS's Camila Montoya Galvez.
This is part of a broader and aggressive campaign by the Trump administration to dramatically increase the number of people who are being arrested by Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE. The agency is now undertaking more aggressive tactics to round up and interdict and deport undocumented immigrants.
Muslims gather to celebrate Eid al-Adha. Worshipper Miriam Asayad says this holiday is about family.
It's supposed to be a blessing. We only have two Eids in Islam that we practice, and those are the only times where we can come together and really feel with each other and unite.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Brewers face the Padres. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers host the San Diego Padres tonight at AmFam Field in Milwaukee. San Diego's Randy Vasquez against the Brewers right-hander Chad Patrick, who's 3-4 with an ERA of 2.97. Manager Pat Murphy.
Chad Patrick continues to show that he has the right stuff, meaning the right insides to pitch up here and pitch in big situations.
NBA, the Pacers with a last-second shot by Tyrese Halliburton beat the Oklahoma City Thunder 111-110 in Game 1 of the NBA Finals, Game 2 Sunday night. NFL, Aaron Rodgers agrees to a one-year deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers, where he says he already knows the team's quarterback coach.
And the quarterback coach is actually a guy named Tom Arth. Tom Arth was in the quarterback room with me in 2006 in Green Bay in the offseason. The first offseason I ever did went through the Mike McCarthy quarterback school. It was me and Tom Arth and Tom Clements.
The Steelers host the Packers Week 8 in Pittsburgh with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Starting July 1st, you can take even more time getting to your seat at the movies. That is, if you're going to AMC Theaters. The Hollywood Reporter says commercials will start playing before movies, along with coming attractions. The theater chain set up a deal with National CineMedia. With commercials, the Dolby Surround sound ads, theater etiquette ads, and previews, you actually have time to watch another movie on your phone before your featured attraction starts. But use headphones, please. Otherwise, it would be rude. Sydney Sweeney has been in the news quite a bit lately. She's now part of a new thriller and not the kind that involves her selling her bathwater. She and Julianne Moore have teamed up in a new thriller called Echo Valley. Moore plays a divorced single mom raising her daughter, played by Sweeney, who is running with the wrong crowd and has a drug problem, which causes her and her mom to go broke. Might have to use some of that soap money. The film is directed by BAFTA winner Michael Pierce and drops on Apple TV June 13th. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, a couple of showers and storms and lows in the low 50s. For the weekend, a mix of sun and clouds, still some storms possible, highs in the mid-70s. Only in the 60s Monday, breezy, cooler, and more rain possible. It's 69 degrees right now.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, we'll talk to State Senator Chris Larson. We'll have a guest talking about the growth of building trades apprenticeships. And we're joined by Dr. Kristen Lyerly as well.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Cutting cut, hitting cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive. Because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local, national, Native news and events. As you know, he knew, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
That's right, Josh. Happy to be here.
Right on. And well, who is this sponsored by? Isn't it from Native Roots Trading Post?
Oh, yes. That's our our shop. I'm so excited for the fair. Yeah, I mean, we are excited in creating different things. You know, you can also shop at, let's see.
It's Cause Cart. It's cause-cart.shop. .com and you can pick up our resist stuff and all the groovy stuff, especially now where we're really doing a lot of resisting.
Oh my goodness, resist. And we all know where that came from originally, right? Or at least in our experiences at Standing Rock, right?
Right. Well, exactly. And one of the things is we talk about here in Native Roots Radio too is that Native Americans are the experts of resisting the last 500 years. And we see that too, that why we're not too upset with what's going on, but we are upset, but we're used to it as BIPOC people and also Native Americans and indigenous to this land. So, Jaleesa, you're here on Native Roots Radio. You're one of, we talked yesterday, if people heard the show, that you're one of the founders of Native Roots Radio. We started as a one-hour show, and because of what was happening in Standing Rock, there was no real information coming out of there. Yep. And that was the Dakota Access Pipeline. I know you were there a bunch of times, and Wendy and I were there a bunch of times, and we'd hear reports, if any, about what was going on, and it was like totally not what we saw with our lion eyes.
Absolutely. I remember, it's interesting, one of the things that comes to mind when I think about being out there is waking up with frost on my tent. But yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, there was not accurate news. You know, one of the beautiful things that I remember about being out there is when you would come there and when you would arrive, some of the people that were at the gate there just ensured that everybody was sober, nobody had anything on them, or they would say no drugs or alcohol in or on you. It was a sacred place. It was to be nonviolent. It was to be prayerful, to always listen to the elders there and kind of their navigation of what was going on and who was to be so to speak, on the front lines and who was to be there, you know, taking care of people at the camp. So, yeah.
Right. And I remember, this is a little bit off subject, but I remember where the youth of St. Paul's public schools, Minneapolis public schools, were protesting Standing Rock, and they were meeting on Lake Street or Marshall Street Bridge, depending on which city you're in. It's the same bridge. But and I remember the news, the local news here was talking about hundreds of people, and then they had a helicopter up in the sky too, and they only videotaped half the crowd, and I'm going, there was 2,000 people there. And so the misinformation is really subtle, but it's there, and we thought we should speak up and get all the experts on and people that were out there, and it just blossomed into we're just getting things out there because our allies out there want to know what's happening. And a lot of people weren't taught these things in school. Most people weren't. And so we're bringing all these people that are a lot smarter than me onto the show, explaining what's happening in community.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's really good to hear from people's firsthand experiences, right? Because we just don't know how people are swaying it. People are presenting it the way they produce it, and that. So good to hear from people who directly experience it, right? And then also, just like you said, or at least you alluded to, is just to bring on the experts, bring on people on a platform like this that really have given a lot of their passion and life to certain topics for Native people.
Right, exactly. And then it's also blossomed to artists, musicians, which are artists, and people that write books, and people that do all these fun things too. And you're an artist, and I know you're an artist, but you're also a theater person, and you've been in a lot of plays lately, and you're doing films, and so it's been really excellent for me to watch and see your growth in that, but also really proud of you, and also really excited that you have some spare time to join me on Native Roots Radio.
Oh, thank you. You know, I do keep busy, but it's just, I think we were talking about this off the air, just me and you time, but it's just these are things that I want to be doing anyways. And I wake up in the morning and I go to work, and I'm so excited to be at work, you know, and I'm so excited to be connecting with my clients. You know, for those of you that don't know, I'm a counselor, and then translate that into my passion as just to be a support as a Native person, as a Native woman, and facilitate those groups. And then to come on here, like you're saying, it doesn't feel like work. It's things that I would want to be doing anyway, either tuning in or, you know, being around you, Josh, and being around other Native people.
Well, I'm really proud of you. You're really in community too. And that's important, is just to show up and to support. And that's what our community is all about, is, and what I like about it is that's really the bare minimum, but it's also a big thing, is to show up, whether it's a powwow, whether it's a theater gig, or whether it's a protest.
Absolutely. Yep. We got to show up. And I always encourage people that maybe feel a little more disconnected than connected to the community to just start to just come to things, start to introduce yourself, and just, even if you don't know anybody, come to a powwow, come, you know, and get linked that way. So.
Yeah. That's the secret sauce, right? Is just to show up. And I know there was movie guy that said 90% of life is just showing up.
Yeah.
I truly believe that.
I do too. I do too. And sometimes just showing up is the hardest part, because it's those transitions that we just like, it's just the motivation, whatever it is to get there. But then once you're there, you're just so grateful that you did it.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Because sometimes your worst enemy is between your left and right ear, and talking yourself out of things. And that's one thing I don't see about you. You're a doer. And like, again, I said, I'm really proud to be your judge, and, to see you become the person that you're meant to be. And it's happening. And again, I appreciate you being able to spend some time with our audience here and with me on Native Roots Radio. It's a huge deal, and I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Josh. You make me very proud as well. All the things you do for our community, for our family. You know, you're an amazing Choka, Jaji, and hubby to Wendy. Shout out to Wendy.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, so we got like a minute left. Talk about a little bit of your theater experience. I know I've been able to see, well, in your movie experience too. You've been doing a lot of shorts and stuff, and we got about a minute left.
Yes. So the shorts, stay tuned. I just wrapped a short film with someone, but we're gonna plug that after some time, after post is kind of wrapping up. So stay tuned for that. But I'm just really honored. I studied theater in undergrad. I was so honored to get my kickstart at New Native Theater in terms of doing professional theater. And the fact that it was Native centric, shout out to Montana Cypress for writing one of those, Rihanna Yazzi for founding New Native Theater and being a great director, and Genevieve and just everybody over at New Native Theater. I've been in plays there, and you know, more to come.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks for speaking your truth and being on and making my life easier. I appreciate it. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and up next we have State Senator Mary Kunish. This is Native Roots Radio.
Your heart beats for generations. Take care of it.
There's a lot that we can do to take care of ourselves. And so I think it's important to take the smaller steps and break it down into more manageable pieces, because the little steps leads to big changes.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. For Indigenous women, taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Let's protect that story. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats.
Support for Native Roots Radio comes from the Walker Arts Center, an art space that's more than the spoon and cherry. Galleries celebrate contemporary visual art, including Indigenous artists like Edgar Heap of Birds, Cheyenne and Arapaho Nation, and Jim Demeny, Ojibwe. Additionally, films screen in the cinema, and performances are shown on stage. Free every Thursday night and free every day for members and citizens of tribal nations. Learn more at walkerart.org. Again, that's walkerart.org.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
What does it mean to begin? Creation Story explores Native origin stories through powerful contemporary art, connecting past and present with every brushstroke in sculpture. Explore how identity, culture, and resilience are shaped through art. Creation Story, now at All My Relations Arts through July 26th. This exhibition invites you to the heart of the Ochate Shikoin storytelling, where spiritual relatives guide the way. Open to all. Learn more at allmyrelationsarts.org. Experience the beginning. Experience Creation Story at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. Hey, we love having our friend, State Senator Mary Kunish, on, and she has filed a report today from where she's heading right now. So we're excited to hear this. Here we go, State Senator Mary Kunish.
Greetings, relatives. I greet you with a warm heart and a hearty handshake. This is State Senator Mary Kunish, and glad to be able to chat with you this afternoon. It is a balmy day here in Minnesota. We've had some overcast from the smokes coming down from Canada, but it looks like some of those have cleared. I'm going to be heading north here in a little while, and I'm hoping to spend some time in clear skies and sunshine, as it has been a busy couple of weeks, and I really could just use a little R&R before we finish our special session here in Minnesota. So as some of you may know, we are not quite done with our legislative session. We were not able to complete all of the legislation needed to create a balanced budget here in Minnesota. So many of us are still working very, very fervently to get ourselves to a place where we can fund the state of Minnesota in the very best way. I am the chair of Education Finance. And so last week, we spent a good amount of time negotiating with our House members to ensure that we have, provided the resources that our students need to thrive in the very best way. And it wasn't always easy in the House. That is evenly tied legislature. So the first thing that had to happen was for the House members to negotiate between themselves and then bring it to us here in the Senate. And so it's been taking a lot longer than we had anticipated, but I'm glad to say that we were able to come to a really good agreement when it comes to education here in Minnesota. We were able to continue to allocate a really strong general formula, per pupil formula for our students. So our schools will see a 2.7% increase in their basic formula in 2026, and then another inflationary increase of 3% in 2027. And then that formula is going to be tied to inflation to the future to provide the school districts with some level of security and certainty as far as that goes. But we had a really difficult budget this year and actually had a cut target of $420 million in our future budget for fiscal year 28-29. It was a 0% for 28 and then the cut for the cut of $420 million. And so that cut was hard to do after having an incredible opportunity 2 years ago with surplus money to put into our schools a lot of investment in our EL, our English learners, our special education kids. Really glad that we were able to preserve a no-cost lunch and breakfast to our students. So here in Minnesota, our students don't have to pay for a breakfast and a lunch. If they need more than one, we will require them to pay for that. But here in Minnesota, we're able to make sure that our students are being fed and that they have the nutrition that they need to get through the day. And so that was really, I'm really glad that we are able to continue to support our students in that way. But there will be other changes as we go forward. I'm a little nervous about what's going to be coming down from the federal government. And so we have to keep in mind that there could be some really significant cuts to education, as the president and his team have pledged to cut the Department of Education and then maybe outsource some of the grants and other funding. We don't know what their plans are. And so it's pretty much got everybody on pins and needles, not just in education, but across, state government, county government, agriculture, vets, our veterans and those sort of groups, just uncertain to the future. And so our goal was to create certainty in this time. I think we will go into a special session next week where all of the bills that are still outstanding that didn't pass during the regular session will be heard. And so stay tuned. It'll be pretty interesting. But when we look at education, I just want to also give a good shout out to all of our graduates, those that are graduating from college, from elementary school into high school, kindergartners, all of those, but also our high school graduates, because we know that historically the high school graduation rate for American Indian students across the nation has been pretty dismal. It's always been significantly lower than the national average. And I think nationally, the average is around 87% of our students are graduating from high school. And of course, our American Indian, Alaska Natives, their rate was just around 74%. And so that means that 74 of our kids out of every 100 of them are graduating on time. And we're hoping that we can raise that national average. But, you know, when we look at the historic disenchantment with education, it doesn't, you know, it still doesn't surprise us or surprise me, but I sure wish that we were able to build that up, that graduation rate up, and make our kids as successful as possible. Here in Minnesota, though, I'm really glad to report that our overall state graduation rate hit a record high of 84.2% in 2024. That's really great. But again, our rate of American Indian students here in Minnesota did not meet that 84%. The graduation rate for American Indian kids is around 62.9%. Percent. But the good thing is that is an increase from the 2023 rate of 61.3%. And so we look to find ways to support our students in our public school system. One of the ways that we have here in Minnesota is that we've created an American Indian parenting committee. If you have 10 or more students in your school, that school is obliged to form a group to advise the school on how to meet the needs of our students in the unique situations that we find ourselves in. We also have some additional funding from our school trust lands that go to our BIE schools. Minnesota has four of those here in Minnesota. Unfortunately, those schools don't have even meet that threshold of the other American Indian Alaska Natives threshold. I think the last time I heard, according to the Bureau of Indian Education, only about 53% of those kids are graduating from high school. And, that's an area that we have tried to lift up here in Minnesota by providing additional funding. Last summer, we went and visited a couple of the schools and saw really incredible things going. I know graduation isn't always the test for success in the future, but it sure is a really good one. So just wanted to shout out to all of the graduates from preschool to kindergarten to elementary to middle school to high school to college and maybe even doctorate master programs. Congratulations to you, because as a former teacher, I firmly believe that knowledge is power. And if it's one thing that we Native Americans, Indigenous people know, that we've always needed to have that additional power to overcome the obstacles that our ancestors have met and we are meeting in this day and into the future. So I'm going to take a little break here and I'll be back in just a minute.
Thank you. And you are listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and that's State Senator Mary Kunish from the great state of Minnesota. Hey, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio. Ho-wah.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show.
CBS News Special Report. It's an escape that has had those in the Calico Rock, Arkansas community on edge since May 25th, but now some relief after an arrest today. Our C. Peter King reports.
Police say Grant Hardin was found about a mile and a half northwest of the prison from which he escaped. He was serving a 30-year sentence for murder and 50 years for rape. It was the subject of the TV documentary Devil in the Ozarks.
CBS's Ian Lee says of Hardin's appearance after almost 2 weeks on the run and found in a wooded area.
We've seen some pictures come out. He looks disheveled. He looks like he's been in 2 weeks in the woods, covered in dirt and mud. Authorities have apprehended him, and they're taking him now in for questioning.
Authorities have said that the former police chief escaped by putting on an outfit designed to look like a law enforcement uniform. The escape is still under investigation. CBS News Special Report. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Brewers face the Padres. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers host the San Diego Padres tonight at AmFam Field in Milwaukee. San Diego's Randy Vasquez against the Brewers right-hander Chad Patrick, who's 3-4 with an ERA of 2.97. Manager Pat Murphy.
Chad Patrick continues to show that he has the right stuff, meaning the right insides to pitch up here and pitch in big situations.
NBA, the Pacers with a last-second shot by Tyrese Halliburton beat the Oklahoma City Thunder 111-110 in Game 1 of the NBA Finals, Game 2 Sunday night. NFL, Aaron Rodgers agrees to a one-year deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers, where he says he already knows the team's quarterback coach.
And the quarterback coach is actually a guy named Tom Arth. Tom Arth was in the quarterback room with me in 2006 in Green Bay in the offseason. The first offseason I ever did went through the Mike McCarthy quarterback school. It was me and Tom Arth and Tom Clements.
The Steelers host the Packers Week 8 in Pittsburgh with sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Not sure if Steve Carell has big feet, but his shoes will be tough to fill. No one knows that more than Domhnall Gleeson, who will play the boss on a new spinoff of NBC's The Office. The Paper will feature the same documentary film crew from The Office, even though it was never really featured, as they record the daily happenings of a dying local newspaper, and it will be brought to you by the same team that brought you the American version of The Office. Gleeson, the son of actor Brendan Gleeson, knows the challenges he faces. The actor said he recently received encouraging words from Carell's Office co-star, John Krasinski, who reassured the actor that he was in great hands with executive producer Greg Daniels. Daniels successfully rebooted Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant's show of the same title from the UK. Although the title is different, the challenges faced in The Paper are the same faced by those who ran a fictitious paper company. There is no release date yet, but The Paper will premiere in September on Peacock. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, couple of showers and storms and lows in the low 50s. For the weekend, a mix of sun and clouds, still some storms possible, highs in the mid-70s. Only in the 60s Monday, breezy, cooler, and more rain possible. It's 67 right now.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
State Senator Keldon Royce.
The vast majority of people on Medicaid are already working, and it is Medicaid that makes it possible for them to work. People who are disabled or have chronic illnesses and without that health care, they would be out of the workforce. They would have no ability to participate in the economy, and now they can. Medicaid is one of the greatest workforce programs this country has ever built, and they are trying to dismantle it, and with it, they're going to take people's lives and economic security.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
Congressman Mark Pocan is here. Are you planning on going out on the road again, having a couple more town halls?
Yes. No, Claire, Derek and I have been invited by Opportunity Wisconsin, so I'm really looking forward to debating Derek. My guess is it's more likely I will sprout a head full of hair than he will show up. This is important to let people know what's in this bill, because there is a very good reason why Republicans are hiding from town halls.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
At 5 p.m., I'll be joined with UW Wisconsin Law School professor Aaron Barbato to talk about immigration processes. We dispel myths and give you the real scoop.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we are so blessed to have our friend State Senator Mary Kunish on. Now, here is the second part of the State Senator's report to us on Native Roots Radio.
Greetings, I'm back. This is State Senator Mary Kunish from Minnesota. We were talking a minute ago about graduation rates, but another thing that is on my mind is around voting. This week, I had an opportunity to fly up to Anchorage, Alaska. I did a quick junket, left Tuesday morning, met with the National Council of State Legislators of American Indian Legislators, and then we conferenced all day Wednesday, and I came back Wednesday night Thursday morning very early. But we were up there to talk about voting, not specifically voting in Indian country, but that was a huge, huge, huge part of our conversation. And there were legislators from all over the country there, and not just American Indian legislators. We had folks from Alaska, of course, Arizona, New Mexico, North Dakota. I was there. I am the chair of the Native American legislative, the National Caucus of Native American State Legislators. So I was able to be there, and the National Council of State Legislators were the ones that hosted it for us. So they did a really great job of bringing together a diverse number of folks to talk about voting. And a lot of it, as I said, was about voting in Indian country. You know, it's interesting to know that that our Native Americans, again, are lagging in the participation of voting here in not just Minnesota, but across the nation. And a lot of it has to do with, you know, and one of the things we discussed was the fact that our American Indian folks are so disenfranchised with government of any kind. And so when we look at the fact that this is the, I think, 124th anniversary of the American Indian Citizenship Act, and I made a point of saying that my grandpa wasn't even considered a citizen of the country that he and his ancestors lived in. He was Standing Rock Lakota. He wasn't even a citizen or considered a citizen of this country until he was around 24. And then here in Minnesota, we did not pass voting rights specifically for American Indians until 1960. And so when we look at the structural barriers and the unfair tactics that have been put in place specifically to disenfranchise American Indians from participating in the voting, their voting rights, we see that to this day there are still plenty of Native folks that don't even know that they can vote or that they should be voting. I know a couple years ago when I was helping to get out the vote in Indian country and I was speaking with a group of elders, there were a number of them that said, well, we didn't even know that we could vote in elections outside of our tribal government because forever they couldn't. And there had been no effort to educate and provide the opportunities for them to vote in their local municipal elections, the state elections, county elections. And I just remember talking to them about that and about how it was so important that they participate and, you know, be role models for the generation that is here today and into the future. And it was lovely when that election cycle finished up in November of that year, and I received messages from a number of the folks saying that they had voted for the very first time, and these were elders in our community. And so I just think it's really great that there are entities out there that are looking to find ways to support American Indians in their voting rights, because we all do. If you are a citizen of the United States in good standing with the law and you are 18 years or older, and you have the right to vote in our federal, in our state, and our local elections, along with our tribal elections. And many tribes consider their members dual citizenship when you look at their U.S. Citizenship and then their enrollment in their tribes. But we have seen historically that especially those voters on reservations really face unique challenges compared to other voters. You know, we look at the geographical isolation. That was a big discussion that we had. You know, many reservations are, of course, as it was planned, tucked way out into the far reaches of the states, or in really desolate areas that would require long travel distances to vote. And of course, those areas have really limited public transportation and a poor infrastructure as far as mail delivery. So if you wanted to do an early ballot, when do you get your mail and when does that mail get picked up? Can you get a ballot to to your local government in time to be counted? For so many of our members, it is really difficult to get to those polling places or to voter registration areas. And so when we look at some of the other areas that really affect our ability and, you know, create barriers. We look at our housing insecurity. Some of our Native American folks might and often do experience housing instability, and that makes that voter registration and address verification very complicated. Some states and local entities have restrictions that can disproportionately affect our communities by hindering their ability to vote. And when we think about where are those polling places located, are they located in friendly places or are they located in areas like a sheriff's office or other areas that are not welcoming to our American Indian communities? These are all things that we need to have good discussions about and really find good solutions to that. You know, many of our Native American folks on reservations don't have those traditional street addresses. And if you remember a few elections ago, that was a huge, huge issue. And it really causes difficulty when you go to register and you don't have like a 123 First Avenue North address, but it's, 3 miles down the road from the corner of X and X kind of thing. And so those kind of requirements, I think, are intentional, but they certainly exasperate the unique circumstances of our American Indian folks. So, one of the things that we learned while we were discussing is, in spite of all of those barriers, our American Indian communities have consistently participated in these elections, though at low rates. One of the statistics that they shared with us that our American Indian voters have to consider are the tribal issues when they are voting. How do the local issues also pair with their tribal issues? Are the tribal leaders and the community leaders in good standing with each other? And so I think it's really important that those relationships are being really worked on with good intentions, so that everybody in the areas are being successfully The resources are meeting not only our tribal members, but our county members, the roads, the infrastructure, internet access, school access, transportation, all of those things. So just want everybody to start thinking about their responsibility as a voter. One of the statistics that they shared with us is that almost 80% of Native American respondents in a poll, an election poll, reported that they considered those tribal issues when they were voting. So let's make sure that we are building really good relationships with all of our community members. And with that, I'm off. Have a really great week, everybody. Take care of each other. Wopilatanka.
Thank you. A big peenigigi to you, State Senator Mary Kunish. Hey, I'd like to end the show, or at least this segment, before we get to Wendy, with a little Pretendian music here. We got a minute less to listen to. Here's the Pretendians.
Your heart beats for generations.
Your heart is so many things. It beats all the time, and it works very hard to keep you moving through your day, keeping your thoughts clear. It's the most important organ in your body.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. Taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats. That's hennepin.us/heart-beats.
What does it mean to begin? Creation Story explores Native origin stories through powerful contemporary art, connecting past and present with every brushstroke in sculpture. Explore how identity, culture, and resilience are shaped through art. Creation Story, now at All My Relations Arts through July 26th. This exhibition invites you to the heart of the Ochate Shekowin storytelling, where spiritual relatives guide the way. Open to all. Learn more at allmyrelationsarts.org. Experience the beginning. Experience Creation Story at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis.
Hey, Cudigy to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Kiergan.
And I'm Hadley.
We're two of the very first listeners, and we're
still listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio. Hey, this is a fun part of our show, and I always get to showcase my beautiful wife, Wendy Pilot. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many years, and here she is giving us a report.
Hey, everyone. My name is Hana Jihihani. That means cares for them, and I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hana Jingo, which means walks on white clouds. I am a policy volunteer for Humane World for Animals, previously known as the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. It's always my pleasure to do that. Excuse me, I collected some animal facts, so let's go over these. Here's one about hummingbirds. So hummingbird babies, and I've never seen one in my life, are impossibly tiny. They're smaller than a penny and weigh less than a paper clip. These helpless little ones rely entirely on their mom for survival, needing food every 20 minutes from dawn till dusk. Well, that's a hardworking mom. So again, get your hummingbird feeders out there. Just use plain old sugar and water. They have the recipe online. Don't use any dyes. And clean that hummingbird feeder with white vinegar and warm water, and that's all you need. I have something here from Humane World for Animals. USDA licensed puppy mills. So these are USDA licensed puppy mills are getting away with horrific animal abuse. Many are allowing dogs to become sick and emaciated, locking them in cages in extreme temperatures and failing to meet minimum standards of care. The Better Care for Animals Act. So this is a new act. The Better Care for Animals Act is the best chance in decades to ensure Animal Welfare Act requirements are enforced at facilities that house animals and to finally punish the animal abusers responsible for these places. So we want you to tell your legislator to co-sponsor this critical bill. And the bill, again, is called the Better Care for Animals Act. You know, being a policy volunteer for Humane World for Animals, that is something that we do. We go to meet our legislators in person and ask them to help us pass these bills. You know, they don't have time to know about every bill that comes before them, right? They don't know all the little, you know, the minutiae details of every bill that comes in front of their desk. So we're there to really educate them. So, and you can too. So you can go on Humane World for Animals and look up this act, this bill, the Better Care for Animals Act, and read about it. And if it's something that's important to you, please call your legislator and let them know. Excuse me. Dead trees are filled with life. So there's all kinds of critters that live in these dead, hollowed trees. We have owls, birds, mammals, bees, moths and butterflies, beetles, salamanders, frogs and toads, larvae and fungi. And we all need these, right? Robert and I have, we've talked about this before in our front yard. It's a pollinator bit, you know, pollinator plants and water for the birds, and we have what's called a stumpery. I kind of like the sound of that, a stumpery. So what it is just all old logs, like in a pile. And at any time you go out there, and if you move one of the logs, you'll see like all these insects, all these little critters that live in this log, and it's just really amazing. Okay, here's the next thing. Listen, I don't like this guy. I think he's a bad guy, but he did do one good thing. So DeSantis, okay? Governor Ron DeSantis, Governor Ron DeSantis. He just signed a bill, a powerful new law that will punish anyone who leaves their pets behind during hurricanes with prison time and heavy fines. Okay, one good thing, Ron DeSantis, good for you for doing that. Because, you know, in Florida, when all these storms hit, a lot of people just abandon their pets. So he's not going to allow that anymore. Let's see here. We have some news here from, the Raptor Center. Let me bring this up here. The Raptor Center. Here we go. Oh, I can't bring it up. Anyway, we want to take care of our raptors, eagles, owls, hawks. I've talked about this a million times on the show. We do not want to put poison out or poison rodents, right? There are other ways to get rid of rodents that are more humane, because when we poison these rodents, these mice, the rats, these type of rodents, their poison are in their body. And then the raptors, the eagles, the owls, the hawks will swoop down and pick up these poisoned animals. And we don't want that to happen, because then it poisons the animal that the poison was not intended for, right? And also land animals that would catch these rodents and eat them. So we want to be careful of that. So if you have a rodent problem, please do not put out those black boxes around your house. It's crazy because, you know, Robert and I live just a few blocks from the Mississippi River. So we have eagles and all kinds of wildlife around. And I see these boxes all over the place. So if you have one, get rid of it. I always save these little memes that I find on Facebook and social media that have little fun things about pets. So here's one. I'm going to describe it. This is two dogs. They're on the sidewalk and they're looking at this store. And the storefront says cheese and wine shop. And the first dog says cheese goes with wine. And then the other dog said, I've only had it with antibiotics. So I thought that was kind of cute, but the dog's owner probably put their antibiotic in with some cheese. I'm going to say this one really quickly. This is about crows, and I just love them, but listen to this, and I have talked about this before. So if a crow feels under the weather, it will deliberately seek out an anthill, spread its wings, and remain motionless until the ants settle in its feathers. The small insects spray their formic acid, a natural disinfectant spray that kills fungi, bacteria, and skin parasites. This unusual self-healing ritual is called ant bathing or anting. And it has been documented not only in crows, but in many bird species. Instead of needing medication, the bird simply uses the ants' chemicals. Further proof of how ingeniously nature organizes its own pharmacy service. So that's really something spectacular. A horse can hear a human heartbeat from at least 4 feet away. They hear intention, they feel vibe. They are the tellers of self and mirrors of the soul. I don't know too much about horses. I'm going to learn more about them. I do really, of course, I love all animals. So I want to learn more about horses and bring you some fun facts about them. And I'll learn some stuff in the meantime. But anyway, listen, it's Friday. Have a great weekend. Take care of the critters outside. If it's hot, leave some pans of water outside. Everybody's thirsty. I know our bird baths in our backyards and our pan of water that we keep get cleaned a couple of times a day. Back to you, Robert.
Hey, thank you, Wendy. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. Everybody, have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday. And
Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, oil and gas industry expert Matt Randolph, also known as Mr. Global, will be here to talk about all things energy in Wisconsin. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
I love playing sports. especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Trump administration brings Kilmar Abrego Garcia back to the U.S. to face human smuggling charges that stem from a traffic stop in 2022. CBS legal analyst Jessica Levinson.
If he is in fact convicted, then he would serve time in a federal prison. At that point, you could begin the process of removing him to El Salvador.
Former police chief and convicted killer Grant Hardin is captured after escaping from a northern Arkansas prison on May 25th. CBS's Ian Lee.
A special team from the Border Patrol that specializes in searches like this. They came in to help out. They had dogs that were able to pick up the scent of Hardin.
The Labor Department says employers added a solid 139,000 jobs in May. Bank rate Stephen Juneau on sectors leading the way.
It's really still education and health. Really within that, I would say it's health more than education, and it's leisure and hospitality. Those two sectors alone add out 135,000 jobs.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.